Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. Merry Christmas time to everybody. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Dear Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service, and thank you for your anointing, Lord. And Father God, let us leave here refreshed and encouraged and excited and ready to be about your business. And Father God, thank you for just your blessings on this people, Lord. Thank you that we are just, it doesn't matter what's going on in our world, Lord, but we are just so in love with you, and we're so blessed to have you, that we receive your mercy and your strength during these times, Lord. And we just love to be in your presence, and we love to be with our church family. And thank you so much for everything you do for us, Lord. You are so worthy of our praise. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. So, you know, to continue on, we're kind of talking about Joseph this Christmas time and kind of what he went through. And so last week we talked about Joe. He got the news. He got the news from the angel. Hey, it's okay to take Mary as your wife. Now, Joseph, to put ourselves in his shoes for a minute, if we can do that, or put ourselves in his sandals, right? For a second, you know, we can only imagine the kind of mind battles that Joseph would have been having, you know, during this time. He obviously had his heart set on marrying Mary, and he would have been excited about that. And he probably, you know, I would imagine, like most people about to get married, his mind would wonder about what kind of wonderful things they would experience and how they would get through the hard times and the good times together, and how they can pretty much handle anything as long as I got old Mary by my side. And, you know, he was fixing the house up and all that kind of stuff that they would do back then during this betrothal process. And then he gets this news. Mary is with child, and Joseph knew it wasn't his. So by law, this was a trespass that was punishable by death. And Joseph would have been in his rights to put her to death, to have her stoned, and he could have disgraced her publicly. And there's a lot of things that Joseph could have done to kind of save face for himself during this somewhat embarrassing situation for him. But if we read the scripture and we remember what we read last week, is he wanted to put her away privately. He didn't want to drag her name through the mud. He didn't want to embarrass her publicly or privately. He was just going to kind of dismiss her. But we can only imagine that there was some frustrations, that there was some disappointments rolling around in his mind as he sat here, or laid here rather, and considered what to do with Mary. But as he considered these things, so briefly, I want to talk about mind battles just for a second. Raise your hand. You can raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about when I talk about mind battles, man, where your mind just goes crazy. You know, where Satan throws those fiery darts at us, and instead of raising the shield of faith, we let those fiery darts take root in us, and they begin to turn over and grow, and we just get into a bad place mentally. And I'm sure Joseph had to deal with this somewhat, okay? But we know that it's going to turn out all right for Joseph. I'm trying not to say David. I'm talking about Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus. So if I say David, you know what I'm talking about. Can I get a witness? But, you know, we do certainly know what it's like to be in a situation where you thought it was going to go one way, and then you realize, man, I don't think this is going to work out exactly the way I thought it to. We go through life, man. We have these mind battles, disappointments, frustrations, certain things like that. Well, I want to give you this verse right here, Ephesians 4 and verse 27. Look right here at your monitor. I'm talking not about Joseph so much right now, because we know his situation works out. It wasn't an easy road, but we knew that it worked out. But now I'm talking about me and you. When Satan comes at us like a flood, when those fiery darts are fired at us, look at Ephesians 4 and verse 27 right here on your monitor. And give no opportunity to the devil. Or the NIV says something like, and do not let Satan have a foothold. Okay, it's so important. Man, I'm telling you, I've walked a mile down this road. I know what it feels like to just to just listen to the lies of Satan when he begins to talk to you about how worthless you are, stupid you are, whatever, fill in the blank of he knows what to throw at you. Can I get a witness? He knows what's going to get you. I mean, he watches and he does all these testings and probings to see what's going to get you. What's going to get you set off? What's going to get you to go down that spiraly dark place, man? He works hard at that, man. But see, God makes it very, very clear in Ephesians 4, 27, do not give him a foothold. Do not give him a tiny little space in your mind, okay? If you give him a little bit, he will exploit it. So, well, let me just say it like this. When Satan begins to lie to you, can I get a witness? When Satan begins to lie to you, do not entertain those thoughts, but rebuke them right away. Don't let them take root. Rebuke that stuff. And give no opportunity to the devil. NIV says, and do not give the devil a foothold. The New American Standard says, and do not give the devil opportunity. And that's a good way to look at it, man. Look, so often, man, we give the devil a nice little opportunity to mess up our day. So often we give Satan time that he doesn't deserve. In our mind, you know? And the more we entertain it, the more it's going to start to dig in and make sense to us, man. So listen, as soon as you realize, okay, let's look at it like this. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. So when you get this thought, this discouraging thought or something like that, this horrible thing enters your mind, let God be true and every man a liar. So I'm gonna look at it like this. Does this line up with the Word of God, or is this contrary to the Word of God? And if it's contrary to the Word of God, I need to dismiss it, I need to rebuke it, I need to push it out of my mind, and I need to fill my mind with something positive. I'm not talking about thinking about rainbows or puppies or anything like that. Those are nice, but what I'm talking about is filling our mind with Scripture, filling our mind with things that can build us up. Remember, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's talking about yourself too. If your own mind is making you think stupid, crazy stuff that's against the Word of God, okay, let me push that junk away and fill it with the Word of God. Can I get a witness? Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We destroy arguments. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Okay, so here's that fiery dart. Here's that attack of Satan. Here's what you've been entertaining in your mind for years and years and years. And you've allowed a big old stronghold to be built up in your life that is not pleasing to God. Some sort of way of thinking that is just so destructive, so distracting. Well, look at this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. There it is again. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, get rid of it. Throw it out, man. You don't need it. It's going to take you to a bad place. And some of us have kind of lost years of our life, man, for just the way we think about stuff. And, you know, when a thief's caught, he's got to repay seven times over, man. You know, and I want my paycheck. I want my back pay, you know. So, can you dig it? Look at your neighbor and say, I can dig it. Okay. Now look real fast. And this is a little bit of recap from last week, but this is good stuff, man. Some of you guys weren't even here last week. Not that I'm pointing fingers. I don't care. All right. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you so much. We just had a great old time. We love you. People got to do stuff. I'm not saying that. But, okay, here's a little commercial. If you ever can't be here, the sermons are almost always on the internets or the World Wide Webs or whatever the kids are calling it now. So you can check that out. But anyways, look at how Jesus handled this temptation when Satan began to try and tempt him, when Satan was working at him overtime. And, you know, look, Satan's always going to look for that weak area, man. And Jesus had already been without food for like 40 days. You know, can you imagine that? Lord, no, we can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. I told Rachel Jean, me and Rachel Jean were out on a date the other night. We still go on dates. We got to keep the home fires burning, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, anyways, it was kind of a date. She's like, I'm hungry. And she was so, is she in here? Oh. Man, she's one of them people that gets really angry when she's hungry. And so we went somewhere to eat, and she's like, and I was like, Rachel, you know, you're one of them people that I know that gets upset and angry and mean and kind of cruel and vicious, and when you don't eat, you know, and I thought Rachel Jean, I don't think I've ever really been in that place. And she said, well, how come? I was like, well, I don't think I've ever allowed myself to ever get hungry. Yeah. Anywho. So what's going on today? Okay, Matthew 4 and verse 4. This is Jesus showing us what to do when Satan attacks. All right? But he answered, it is written. Okay? Listen, let God be true and every man a liar. So when these thoughts are coming at you, man, and you know they don't line up with the Word of God, go back to what is written. Go back to the Word of God, and you can stand on that. Amen? But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we got to have bread. We all know we got to have bread. That gives us our physical strength, and we got to have that. We got to have that food. But Jesus is saying there's something else, Satan, that you're not thinking, I'm thinking about. You're not thinking the right way about this whole situation, Satan. Okay, man cannot live just by bread alone. Yeah, I am hungry, and yeah, I could turn these stones into bread if I wanted to do that. I could bypass the whole plan that God the Father has for my life, but I'm not about to do that. God's got a plan and a purpose for me. By the way, God's got a plan and purpose for all of you, and God has a plan and purpose for Victory Life Church, and these things are going to come to pass. Amen? Can I get a witness? Okay, so anyways, he's like, look, it's not all about filling your belly, okay, but I need to feed my spirit, man, too. And what Jesus said, it is written, and he's quoting scripture to Satan, and he's standing on the Word of God. So the point I'm trying to make is when Satan is attacking your mind, and that's where the battlefield is, right? I mean, let's be true. That's where it all starts, right there. And some of us, man, we get in so much turmoil in our minds, and there's just so much craziness going on. And God just wants us to have a brainwashing, man. He wants our brains to be washed clean by the Word of God. Can I get a witness? I didn't make that up. Brother Fred Rott used to say that all the time. Let's go to the next slide. Some of you guys are like, I remember that. I remember a preacher saying that. Matthew 1 and verse 20. But as he considered these things, and you can only imagine what was going on with Joseph, you know. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Okay, very important. He says, Joseph. The angel says, Joseph, son of David. Why is that important? Well, man, think about the tons of prophecies given about the Messiah, that he was going to come through the line of David. Now, as Joseph takes Mary to be his wife, okay, by law, that would make Jesus in the line of David. Make sense? Okay, let me give you a prophecy real fast. I think I got a good prophecy here. Jeremiah 23 verses 5 and 6, talking about the Messiah coming from the line of David. Now, there's tons of prophecies in the Old Testament talking about the Messiah, where he was going to come from, what he was going to do, talk about his redemptive work on the cross and how he would pay for our sins and suffer. It's all through the Old Testament. Every book in the Bible someplace points to Jesus Christ. It's in there, man. You can do your own research. Every book in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ, pointing to what he's going to do for us. Okay, so here's just one little prophecy. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Remember that, declares the Lord. I love when I see that in Scripture, because when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens, right? Nobody remembers that, do you? No one knows what I'm talking about. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Forget about E.F. Hutton. But when God says something, whether you think it's true or not, when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. okay? You can take it to the bank. You can write a check on it. All them cool little sayings, they work with this. If God says it, you can stand on it. You can trust in it. So remember that. When Satan's throwing these fiery darts at you, Dalton, when Satan's throwing these fiery darts at you, Brother Wally, listen, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to stand on what God has declared over my life. Can I get a witness? Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall, I will raise up for David a righteous branch. Think about family tree for a second. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Verse 6, in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. If I was one of them fiery, rowdy preachers, this is one of them points, man, where like, you know, because I do get excited when there's something birthed in me, you know, like, oh my goodness gracious, that is so good. And I, one of the things that I struggle with is taking what I feel or what I feel like the Lord is telling me and giving it to people, you know? And so this is, I'm going to try really, really hard, but this is an amazing thing talking about the Messiah. And this is the name by which he will be called. This is one of the names of our Lord. This is one of the names of the Messiah. The Lord is our righteousness. Okay, that's so beautiful because what did he come to earth to do? It's not just about him being born of a virgin. It's not just about him being born in a manger. Those things had to happen, but he died on that cross too. And when he was on that cross, my sin, your sin, before we ever existed, before we ever sinned one single time, our sin, the world's sin, was placed on Jesus, and his righteousness was placed on me. When I accept Jesus Christ, his righteousness is placed on me. Isn't that beautiful? We can't, okay, here's the skinny, man. You can't get to heaven on your own, all right? Look at our world, man. Look at the people in our circle. You know, the Lord calls people home all the time. People pass away all the time, and they are hurled into eternity somewhere, you know? Okay, so we want to make sure that we have that relationship with Jesus Christ because my sin debt was paid for on the cross, and his righteousness was given to me. So this should make a little bit of sense to me and you. The Lord is our righteousness. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul is weighing in on this a little bit. Philippians 3 verse 9. And be found in him. Be found in who? Be found in God. Be found in Jesus Christ. It's not my righteousness, but it's him. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can I get a witness? And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, because you ain't got none. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Don't think for a second that we could keep the law. Nobody was able to keep the law. Only Jesus Christ kept the law. Amen. That's one of the reasons why he was here, to fulfill the law, to fulfill the prophecies. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. That's Jesus Christ right there, man. Okay, the Lord is our righteousness. What a wonderful, wonderful, amazing thing to think. Oh, you know, here it is at Christmas time. Am I going to get this? Am I going to be able to get the kids that or whatever? Look, let's look at what is truly important right here. Let's look at the big deal, man. The Lord is our righteousness. That precious, precious gift on that first Christmas was given because so we could be forgiven. Oh, moving forward, give the Lord some praise. But as he considered these things, I'm all right. Everybody be cool. I don't want anyone worrying about me. I just need to catch my breath. I'm going to sit down for a minute. No, I'm playing. I'm all right. Just have a little bit of this Roxanne. Listen. Behold, somebody dared me to say Roxanne in the sermon. I did it. I'll take my $5. Moving forward. What's going on? Okay, look, sorry, I'm so sorry. Is Sister Chloe? Oh, my mom isn't here. I'm sorry, Mama. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, Matthew 1 and verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Do not fear. Okay, that's what we want to talk about now. Okay, imagine what's going on in Joseph's mind. The angel appears in the dream and says, okay, first thing, Joseph, don't be fearful. And there's so much in our world, man, that can steal our joy, that can bring fear into our lives. And when Satan's throwing those fiery darts, man, what's his big deal, man? Yeah, he lies, he still kills and destroys. He wants us to be so full of fear. He wants us to be terrified to step into a church building. He wants us to be terrified to witness. He wants our lives just to be ruined, and he lies to us. And there's so many things that without Jesus Christ in my life, there's so many things that can seriously freak us out. Can I get a witness? And I'm so thankful that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I can say this with confidence, you know, like the angel telling Joseph, do not fear. Do not fear. This is part of God's plan. You want to pick this out for yourself. But look, it's going to be a lot better than what you had picked out. It's not going to be easy, but what you're doing has eternal big dividends, man. This is a big thing going on, you know. Look at Isaiah 41 and verse 10, talking about do not fear. Okay, listen, I use this verse a lot. It's seriously one of my favorite verses. And you know, when I tend to get overwhelmed, when I tend to get stressed out, and I do, I get like that, you know. Isaiah 41 verse 10 is my go-to, all right? It brings me so much peace. Why? Because let God be true and every man a liar. This is what God says, Scott. This is what God says, Brother Dalton. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not. What did the angel say? Fear not. Don't be full of fear. Don't be discouraged. Fear not, for I am with you. Now think about that, church people. Think about that for a second. Joseph, you got a big job to do. Okay, not everybody's going to like you. Okay, everybody's going to think Mary cheated on you. And not only that, you're going to be the knucklehead from here until eternity that's married to the girl that cheated on you. Okay, that was a big deal. Okay, Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. God is with you, man. Fear not, for I am with you. This is a good one right here. Check it out. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Don't be discouraged. Church folk, don't be discouraged. Why? Because we belong to God. We're not wasting our time with some empty philosophy or some hubbub from a thousand years ago. This is the one true God, the creator of the universe, that is with you. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that even when you're faithless, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be right there with you every step of the way. I'm only a prayer away. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged. Why? For I am your God. Now check this part out. I will strengthen you. Love that, man. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So I've struggled with how to explain or you know, what is, how do I explain that I will uphold you with my righteous right hand? Well, it seems pretty self-explanatory, but boom, one day it really got to me how I can make it make sense to me and to others when I try and use this verse to witness to people or trying to encourage them. First of all, like it says, I will help you, because that is such a big statement, man. You know, it's such a big open statement where we can search our hearts and say, God, I really need help with this. I really need help with this. I really need help with this. And he says, well, you know what? I will help you with that. I'll help you. Okay? So fear not, I'm going to help you. Fear not, Joseph, I'm going to help you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You remember when Sugar Ray Leonard would knock that dude out? Anyone know who Sugar Ray Leonard? You remember when Mike Tyson would knock that dude out and the referee would run in there and grab his hand and hold his hand up? He's like, you did it, Mike Tyson. You did it. Where are you going, Disney World? You did it. You know, he's holding his hand up in victory. God's going to hold our hand up in victory, man. You're going to get through this. Give the Lord some praise, seriously. Look at your neighbor and say, you did it, Mike Tyson. Oh my. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's kind of cool. The angel is giving Joseph a lot of really cool key information here. And it's kind of like mind-blowing when Joseph gets this information. You know, it's not what we always, what they would have thought about the Messiah. They knew that there was sin forgiveness wrapped up in this Messiah. But what the real big driving force and what everybody was praying for about this Messiah is they really wanted to get the Romans out of their business. They wanted to be a free people again. They wanted to have the glory days of Israel, like when Solomon and David ruled, you know, and that's what they really wanted out of this Messiah that they were praying for. But the angel kind of zeroes in on something else, because this is what the Messiah came to do: save his people from their sins. Matter of fact, Jesus was a common name that was given to Israelite kids back then, because every time they would say it, it would remind them of this right here, because Jesus means the Lord is salvation. So all these little Jesuses running around back in the old day, they'd call their name or they'd look at us and say, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is salvation. He will get us out of this mess. He will bring his deliverance. He is going to save me. And then now Joseph is kind of brought into the big picture now of all this. It's like, Mary is with child and it ain't yours, but he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's going to save his people from their sins. Amen. So here's just a couple few prophecies about the Messiah, because everybody was kind of honed in. Our literature and theologians say everyone's kind of honed in on, let's get delivered from the Romans, because throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, God would always raise up some sort of Messiah type character. And this was pointing to Jesus Christ, but Moses got him out of Egypt. Different people delivered him, Samson and the Philistines. These people would be raised up to deliver them from their enemies. So they were waiting for another one of these guys to rise up, to get them the victory, to get rid of the Romans. And the Romans were certainly cruel and very despicable to the Israelites. Let me just move forward. So here's a couple prophecies about the Messiah that were given several hundred years before it actually took place in a little town called Bethlehem. Isaiah 40 and verse 2. This is a good one. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. See the love and compassion that God has given his wayward people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. That her sins are forgiven, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That God is going to bless you beyond compare, that your sins are going to be forgiven. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but these are all talking about Jesus. These are all talking about Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. This is a big Easter verse, you know, but like the preacher said, you can't have the manger without the cross. You can't have Bethlehem without the crucifixion or the empty tomb. These things go together. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, I mean, let's face it, we'd be in a mess if he was just born in a manger and just died on a cross. But he rose from the dead and he kept his word. Can I get a witness? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That crushed is speaking of the sins of all humanity placed on him in the crushing force of all of our sins. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Aren't you glad that he paid for your peace of mind on the cross? That in this day and age I can have peace? That when I think about, when I'm like, man, you know what? I sure have had a lot of friends enter eternity lately. I sure have had a lot of loved ones go to the other side. And I can have peace about that. And bless God, I do have peace. I mean, I ain't looking to die or nothing like that, man. But that's one thing I ain't sweating. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? It's like the Apostle Paul said, you know, The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. As long as I'm here, I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability. And when I die, it's going to be better than I can ever imagine, man. Christians don't lose. So we have that peace of that blessed assurance. If I don't make it home today, you know, all is well. Can I get a witness? The chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds, we are healed. You are no longer a dead man walking. If you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you are no longer on your way to hell. Okay? Now look at Zechariah 13 and verse 1. On that day, there shall be a fountain up. And remember, those springs of living water. Can I get a witness? On that day, there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanliness. It's all talking about the forgiveness of sin. There's a lot of prophecies about the Messiah, but we, you know, to put ourselves in their shoes and the torment that they were under on a daily basis with the Romans doing whatever they wanted to do, and they had the authority, you know, the whole Pax Romana thing, that Roman peace that Caesar and the Romans were bringing in to every place they conquered. Nobody was really cool. Okay, cool. All right, Roman. I love your bread, man. Awesome. You know, I got all these stupid old jokes, man. Anywho, you know, Pax Romana, Roman peace, man, enforced by the spear, the javelin, the sword, the shield, you are going to comply or it's going to cost your head. Okay, not everybody was thrilled about that. So obviously they wanted these guys gone and they were looking at the temporal, okay, because it's right there in their face. Man, I'm being unfairly taxed. Man, they're doing whatever they want to do with my kids and my family and my wife. All these horrible things. Of course they wanted to be delivered from that. But God was looking at something. Jesus was looking at something something different, something eternal. I'm talking about we don't have to fear death because when I die, all is well. Can I get a witness? Okay, so with the remainder of our time, and we're winding things up, go to the last slide, please. I like talking about Joseph. You know, I didn't realize this till Dr. Jeremiah pointed this out a while back, that that Joseph, there's not a single sentence or word recorded that Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus, ever said. You know, he doesn't. We don't have any of that information, but the information we're given is he was a good, godly guy, man. And he was handpicked for the job, the perfect pick for the job. Anyways, here's a prophecy about the Messiah, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We could just tear that one verse up, man, and go over and over again. Matter of fact, I think last Christmas that's what we did. I think that was our study right there. I think we did that verse. But look, for to us a child is born. That speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Remember, let's try and wrap our minds around this. 100% man and 100% God. He knew what it felt like to be tempted. Remember, he said, man cannot live by bread alone. Okay, the God part, if I can say that, was not being tempted by Satan. But that humanity was being very much tempted, but he was showing us what to do. And he stood on the word of God. He said, man cannot live by bread alone. Okay, for to us a child is born. God is not born, right? This is talking about his humanity. God is not born. Okay, remember the burning bush, God said, I am. Jesus when people were talking to him, okay, until I don't want to really butcher this verse, so let me just stop, all right? Jesus said before Abraham was, because he knew his audience respected and almost worshiped Abraham and Moses, and he said before Abraham was, I am. I'm God. I've always been around. I'll always be around. Before Abraham was, I am. For to us a child is born. God is not born, okay? He always existed. That's talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. To us a son is given. That talks about the deity of Jesus Christ. To us a son is given. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we got this amazing thing right here, all wrapped up in just mind-blowing what God did so we could be saved. What God did, I mean, Jesus Christ knows what it feels like to be homeless. Think about it. He knows what it feels like to be misunderstood. You ever feel just like really, really misunderstood and you can't quite explain yourself? And you're like, man, I don't even want to try and do it, man. You know, whatever. But see, Jesus knew all these things. He knew what it felt like to be betrayed. Fill in the gap. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through. Okay. Now look at Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, in that perfect time, in that absolutely perfect time, in the best possible time, you know, talking about Jesus being born in Bethlehem in that manger when during the Roman occupation of Palestine, okay, these things had to happen to fulfill prophecy. You know, these things had to happen. The Romans were the ones that were using crucifixion at the time. There was that whole Pax Romana. I'm probably not saying that right, but it means Roman peace. That thing that was in effect. So the Romans were really good about, making roads. And those roads were utilized really, really good for the spreading of the gospel. That one language that was insisted upon, that was really, really good for spreading the gospel. So God really knew what he was doing. This was the perfect time to have this happen. I mean, look at this. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe in Jesus Christ's deity or not, look how it has split up the world, you know, BC, AD, and all that stuff. This Jesus Christ thing has turned the world upside down. Can I get a witness? But when the fullness, oh, that don't have nothing to do with Jesus. Whatever, dude. Well, look at your neighbor and say, whatever, dude. Drink that Kool-Aid, buddy. Galatians 4, and verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. See, there it is again. That perfect time. God sent forth his son. He gave his son. Born of a woman. Talking about the humanity right there. Born of a woman. Born under the law. You think about that. Jesus was born in Old Testament times. He was born under the law. And he fulfilled every bit of that law because we could never do it. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. What a beautiful thing to celebrate at this Christmas time, man, that if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been adopted into the most precious family in the whole universe, that you are now royalty, that you are now in this special family, you know. And yes, part of the deal is you get to live forever, you know, but we get to experience the Lord God and know him more intimately for all eternity and grow in a relationship. I mean, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I really don't think that we can quite understand the amazing stuff that God has prepared for us, you know. So we have a lot to be excited about. Now, if you're not in the family, you need to be in the family. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is the day to do it. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off another day. I mean, all the time. Every week I hear about someone I know, going to eternity. I mean, just look what's going on in our world, man. Here it is over and over again, you know. So I want to just bring this cry out here. I don't know who's saved and who's not. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you to repeat this prayer after me and mean it. All you got to do is mean it, okay? It's not about saying a bunch of super cool words, but meaning this, wanting to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know he was born of a virgin. And he died for my sins. And he rose from the dead, defeating death. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sins. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior from this day forward. I will serve you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So congratulations, if you said that prayer and you meant it and you weren't a Christian, well, now you are a Christian.